Refresh.
Hey, what's up, you guys? It's your boy, the Muffin Man, coming back at you again with another episode of the Refresh Podcast. I hope you guys are off to such an incredible start so far in your week, and I am here to bring you back another episode of our series that we are currently discussing together, and that is Well Tells Episode 4. And Episode 4 is entitled that It Is Time to Recalibrate. Before we get into that a little later into the series, let's go ahead and open up in prayer, and then we're going to get this party started. Father, just thank you so much for this time that we have to be able to be together. God, I thank you for Anchor, a platform that we're able to come together and to just soak in the gospel, soak in the word. God, I pray that your word today would challenge us, Lord, that it would embed our hearts with seeds from you, God, that you would water them and that you would harvest this word, Lord, into fruits that we can give to those around us, God. Father, I pray that you would anoint my lips. Let it not be my words alone, but let it be you. God, I thank you for every boy and every girl, every man, every woman that is listening to this podcast. And God, I pray that you would prepare our hearts and our ears to receive a word from you here today. Father, we just thank you and we give you the highest praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So guys, welcome back to the Well Tells series, talking about the life of the prophet Jonah. Now, in our last episode, we talked about finding salvation in the storm. The captain woke Jonah up to pray to his God on behalf of the shipmates, whose man-made gods were failing to hear their pleas. And after casting their lots, they came to the conclusion that Jonah was to blame for the storm, and Jonah confirms it. He tells the men that he's running from God, the creator of the very seas that they are on, and that if they would just throw him into the storm, that it would calm. And upon doing this, the men experienced the power of God when the storm ceased, and they came to a place of salvation, and they made vows and commitments for their own lives. And the last we hear of Jonah is in verse 17 of chapter 1, and it says, "And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights." And we see here the word tells us that the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, that he gave Jonah plenty of time to get things right, 3 days and three nights to be exact, that the Lord governed this fish. And I know in some adaptations or in children's books or in shows, they call it a whale. It doesn't give us a direct reference of what exactly it is, if it's a really big fish, or some people call it a dogfish, or even a species of a whale. But all we know is that the Lord has governed this fish to come and to swallow Jonah. So we're going to get a glimpse of Jonah's time inside of the stomach of this fish in chapter 2. In verse 1, we open up and it says, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish, and he said," and we're going to put a pin in that in just a sec. We're going to explore that. Jonah began to pray. And that's probably something that he hasn't done in quite some time. Now, we see here, since we've ever started this series, that Jonah is indeed a prophet of God, that he is a man of God, and he is familiar with the voice of God. After all, that is what he does with his life. But whenever God says, "Hey, I want to bring correction, I want to bring salvation, I want to bring redemption to the people of Nineveh," Jonah's like, "God, I don't know about that. You should really judge them. I don't think they deserve that." And so he begins to get in his funk, as we called it in the last episode, and he goes on to do his own thing. So it's probably been quite some time since Jonah has prayed. So here he is. He's inside of this fish. And what else are you going to do inside of a fish? I mean, you can't really do much. DoorDash doesn't deliver to the inside of a fish, you know. Oftentimes when we're rebelling, or we're in our funk, as we call Jonah's rebellion in episode 3, we tend to forget to pray, you know. And I'm so grateful that God still wants to use us, that even when we're being stubborn and we're trying to do things our own way, that, you know, God still wants to fulfill his plan in our lives. You know, I've been there too many times in my life to where I thought my own plans were greater, or I thought I needed to help God out and speed up the process of many different things in my life. But, you know, doing that, there brings consequences to your life. That if we would just do it God's way in the first place, that there's probably some consequences that we could avoid. And, you know, I definitely think that qualifies Jonah here, that if he would have just followed through with God's plan in the first place, the consequence of being inside the belly of a fish probably could have been avoided. But, you know, oftentimes I think one of the problems comes from with our prayer lives is that we miss even truly what prayer looks like. We often tend to think it has to be poetic or scripted, but prayer is the heart talking to God in the rawest natural way possible. And we catch a glimpse of that raw talk with Jonah straight from the stomach of this fish he's in. Now, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to read the entirety of Jonah's prayer here, and then so we're just going to read it all in one shot, and then after we do that, I'm just going to recap, and we're going to dig down deep into what's going on and kind of talk about it a little bit. So starting in verse 2, it's verse 2, I'm sorry. I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried to help from the depth of Sheol, and you heard my voice. For you have cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from your sight, and nevertheless I will look again toward your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great depth engulfed me, and weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But you brought me up, but you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving, that which I have vowed I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. So we got a lot of good stuff going on there. And in chapter 2, God brings Jonah to a place where he could no longer run away. See, Jonah knew God. Jonah knew of God, and he knew God personally. He had a faith that God can hear his prayers inside of the fish, the stomach of this fish. And in Jonah's prayer, we see evidence that Jonah has spent time in God's word, that he quotes several scriptural references from the book of Psalms here, including some of these examples. He says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God, and he heard my voice from his temple. And that comes from Psalms 18:6. We go on to read, and he says, he also mentions that deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All of your waves and billows have gone over me. And that's Psalms 42:7. And we see another reference point here. For I said, in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you. Psalms 31:22. So, you know, we see that here. That Jonah has spent time with God's word, and because he spent time with God's word in those moments of his difficulty, that he's pulling these scriptures out of the place that he has stored in, which is inside of his heart and his understanding. And he's saying, Lord, you know, I know this looks difficult, and God, this is a consequence for my disobedience, but God, I remember the time I read this in your word, and your word told me this. Your word told me that in my distress, I can call on you, and I can cry out to you, because you'll hear my voice from your temple. Lord, I know that I'm inside the stomach of this fish, but God, I remember reading in your word in Psalms 42:7 that you said, deep calls unto deep, as the noise of your waterfalls, all of your waves and billows have gone over me. You know what, Lord? I may be inside the belly of this fish, but Lord, I remember reading in Psalms 31:22, for I've said in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you've heard the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you. Then in, guys, that's so good. That's so good. We're going to revisit that a little later. In verse 3, Jonah realizes that it was God who was the very one that cast him into the sea. And now he had to face the very thing that brought him pain. And that was separation from God. That he could no longer sleep or run away any longer. He had to face God and face the consequences of his disobedience. And in the belly of the fish was the perfect place for him to turn his heart towards God and set his eyes on the kingdom. To reset his eyes on the kingdom. How many times have we taken our eyes off of the ball? How many times do we take our eyes off the kingdom and we're so focused on our own problems or ideas, but we know that God's word tells us to seek first the kingdom and then everything else follows. Jonah realizes in verse 8 that he no longer that he's no better than those who are in Nineveh with all of the resistance and running from God. So let's kind of, I said that a little fast, let's kind of just revisit that. So here in verse 8, and I know that was a huge jump from verse 3 to verse 8, but a lot of the scriptures that I had mentioned is what covered in those verses that we kind of just skipped over. But we see here in verse 8 that Jonah is saying that he's no better than the people of Nineveh because he came to a realization that by resisting God, and running from God and turning his back on God's plan, that he says it right here in verse 8, those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness. He had forsaken his faithfulness, and he began to compare himself to an idolater. He's like, God, you know what? I'm just as guilty as the people in Nineveh that, you know, here I am. I was standing in Nineveh and I said, man, God, these people are idolaters. They don't even deserve your redemptive grace because look at what they're doing. Look at how they're turning their back on you. Look how they're like they're not even acknowledging you because they're so caught up in their man-made gods because they want to be in control that Jonah pretty much does the exact same thing. That he turns his back on God and he ignores God's plan to do his own thing. But he no longer wanted to feel that way. That he probably had that realization, that aha moment to where he was like, man, God, you know what? I'm doing the same thing. But you know what? He's like, God, and in this moment, I'm reminded of the vows that I made to you. That, you know, I at one point in my life, I said, God, I want to do whatever it is that you want me to do in my life because I feel the call for you in my life. But now in the belly of this fish, he was ready to bring action to the words he had spoke. He was ready to bring action and application to his commitment. Jonah also realized that the same God that saved his life inside of this fish from the storm that he was thrown into, from the ocean that he was thrown into, wanted to do the very same thing for the people of Nineveh. And we read here in verse 10, it says, then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up unto dry land. The Lord instructs the fish to vomit Jonah onto dry land. The fish obeys the Lord. I just want you to see that whatever your circumstance looks like, the circumstance obeys God. That if God speaks to your circumstance and your difficulty and your storm, that all God has to do is speak to it and it obeys him. Now in verse 10, it's game time. Jonah is given opportunity to continue the journey of the Lord after recommitting to the Lord and going through a process of redemption. Now, what does all of this mean for our lives? We've been talking about this for like 13 minutes now. And what does this even mean for your life? How is this even relevant for your life, right? Well, I'm glad you asked. And I'm still glad even if you didn't ask, because there are times in our life where we need those belly of the fish moments. That God allows things in our lives to happen so we will set our focus on him and repent from the destructive things that we've brought into our own lives. The plans that God has for our lives will be difficult, but also they bring great rewards. You will find more joy in pursuing the plans and the life that God has for you than you will in your own plans. And in fact, our very own plans are often easy. And you can't see my fingers, but air quote, easy, but also very destructive to our lives, that we want things in an instant, and we try to override that waiting process. And oftentimes when we do that, we will damage our own lives. We will bring consequences on ourselves that could have been avoided, and we will find ourselves in very difficult situations if we try to do things in our own power. When I was in high school, the teachers received this grant from the parish. And they begin to place these things in the classrooms called smart boards. And it was pretty much like this big touch screen board that we could interact with. And, you know, we can go up to the board and we can write with these pens and they would show up on the board. But, you know, there was this thing where oftentimes if the board didn't perform like it was created to do, it needed to be what was called recalibrated, which was this process where you get into the settings and you'd have to tap the board in several different places to kind of reset the touchscreen ability. I want to pull up the definition of recalibrate for you. To recalibrate means to calibrate something again. And there's this quote from Steffi Westbird, and he says, "The systems gradually drift off course so that the navigator periodically needs a fresh point of reference to recalibrate the navigation system." And I just thought that was quite interesting, actually, you know, because I want to ask you, what is the fresh point of reference God is bringing to you right here, right now in your life that you're off course and you need a recalibration system in your life? One, and I want you to understand that the recalibration process isn't one that is always comfortable or easy. And in fact, Jonah's recalibration process, his fresh point of reference was inside of a fish's stomach for 3 days and three nights. Now, are you going to experience the inside of a fish? Probably not. But will you get laid off or fired from a job? Maybe. Will someone you love get murdered? It's possible. Will you face some kind of health-threatening disease? Maybe so. Will the person you love quit loving you? It's possible. See, the list goes on a mile long. While these things happen to us in our everyday lives, they're all fresh point of references. That these things are difficult. Nobody plans for these things to happen. But I want you to know that these are all opportunities, just like the stomach of the fish, to recalibrate your life. And I want to ask you, how will you respond? How will you respond whenever you're laid off or fired from your job? How will you respond whenever someone you love gets murdered? How will you respond when you're faced with some health-threatening disease? How will you respond when the person you love quits loving you? The answer is simple. We look in Jonah's life. Jonah responded with God's word when he was inside of the belly of the fish. He began to dig down deep. Now, where did he dig down deep from? Did Jonah have a Bible inside of the stomach of the well? No. But did Jonah know what God's word said? Yes. How? From time of study and time of practice. Guys, we know that Psalms 119:11 tells us to hide the word of God in our hearts so that we may not sin against him. See, it's like storing nuts for the winter. You'll never know when the scripture you need to cling to will come into a place that you'll need it. But I'm sure Jonah didn't think that he'd be in the stomach of a fish whenever he boarded that ship. But he dug down deep and he reminded God of his word. I'm reminded right now of a message I heard one of my friends preach, and he was talking about the rod and the staff, and how whenever you read about the staffs in the Old Testament in the Bible, that it would talk about these staffs. We read that Moses has a staff, we read that David has a staff, and there's different people that have a staff. These staffs would be something that these men would carry, and every time that they would see a significant move of God in their life, they would engrave on their staff that God encounter, and these staffs would be passed down to generations, to where the next person that was the owner of this staff, that they would have that engraving present, and that they would see and be reminded of the really cool things that God did in the lives of the person before them, and they could add their own engravings. And we see whenever Moses has a staff and David has a staff, right here, right now, this is exactly what Jonah is doing. That, yeah, he doesn't have a staff, but he's reminding God of the words that he had stored inside of him, that he had read. See, he believed that he could be recalibrated because of the promises that he saw and learned in the word of God. And it's time that we start learning these promises, guys. It's time that we spend less time looking for cute quotes to post on Facebook, the fake watered down scriptures to fit on phone cases and merch and bumper stickers, and engrave the truth of God on our hearts. See, we care way too much about what people think of us, and that really does affect our pursuit of God. But when you're in that fresh point of reference, what are you gonna do then? See, some people curse God whenever they're in those difficult moments. Some people question God in those moments. Some people hold God accountable for the things that don't go their way. But friend, that is just confusion from the enemy. And I want to tell you today that your difficulty can be an opportunity. And in fact, it is an opportunity to turn your focus away from your problem and focus it on your solution. It's time to repent. It's time to allow God to recalibrate your heart, to make your vows, and to put them into action. See, when the calibration is complete, God will spit you onto dry land, giving you a firm foundation to stand on. It is so, I am so grateful that God gives us these opportunities to make things right with him. And that just proves his love time and time again, that people tend to argue God and argue his existence and argue if he's even real. And they begin to put all of these problems on God and say, if God loves so much, then why does this happen? If God loves so much, but how could you not see God's love present in these moments that he gives us to make things right? You know, in the moments that he's willing to endure these hardships with us and then give us an opportunity to turn our attention to him so that he can bring the provision that we need, so he can bring the solution and the healing that we need or whatever it is that we're lacking in those moments. But friend, here's the thing. This is the challenge that I lay out before you today. What's the belly of the fish look like for you? And what are you going to do in your time inside of the fish? Inside of the fish, are you going to take these cute little selfies? Or are you going to throw a party, man? Or are you going to sit in there and you're all bitter and you're all upset and you're blaming God because it didn't go your way? Are you going to respond in humility? Are you going to recognize your faults and failures? Are you going to recognize your disobedience and bring those things to God so that you can be corrected, so that you can be restored, so that you can be healed, so that you can be recalibrated? Because see, God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. And it's not a plan to where we're sitting here struggling, we're sitting here suffering, we're sitting here being the victim all the time. God has a plan for us because he's building us, guys, to be the heirs of the kingdom. It's something that we cannot even work into, but it's something that is graciously given to us, an opportunity, because you have to understand, because of our sins, we were on our way to hell because we didn't have a savior, but Jesus came to redeem our lives. And when we believe in him and we trust in him, that, wow, we don't have to have hell anymore, that when we come to a place of salvation, that we can be heirs of the kingdom. So are you going to waste your time inside of the belly of the fish, inside of your fresh point of recalibration? Are you going to allow God to minister to you? Are you going to make a commitment to give your life to him and turn away from your sins so that you can be recalibrated and you can start operating in the plan and function God has for your life? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for giving us an opportunity today. An opportunity, but also a reminder, Lord, that the hardships that we endure in life, God, the things that seem destructive, the storms that seem endless, Lord, the loss and the things that we endure in our everyday lives, Lord, that you bring us this reminder today that these things don't always have to seem like something that is destructive, but opportunities given to us to see you active and alive in our lives. God, it brings us to a point to where we can stop running and we can stop being distracted by all the busyness of our lives, and that we are just in this moment, just like the belly of the fish, where there was not a whole lot for Jonah to do. God, that you bring us in these moments where there's not a whole lot that we can do, that it is definitely out of our hands. And Lord, it's in our weaknesses that you are made strong. God, I pray that whoever's listening to this podcast today, Lord, that whatever they're going through in their life and it's out of their hands, it's too big for them to handle. God, I pray that you would redirect their focus and help them to see that you are there. And that you want to use their life, that you want to be glorified in the belly of the fish of their life. God, that you're looking to recalibrate them from their disobedience, from their rebellion, from their bitterness, from their pain that they're holding on to in their lives. And God, that you're looking to do something new inside of them. God, that you're looking to spit them out of the belly of the well onto the belly of the fish and onto this dry land so that they can have a new start. So that they can place into action the vows that they're making with you. God, I pray that if there's somebody listening that does not know you, God, I thank you for the opportunity today to introduce them to you, that Jesus Christ is real, that his love for them is real, and that Jesus Christ died on the cross so that their sins could be forgiven. But he didn't stay dead, but he rose again, conquering death, hell, and the grave, and he went on ahead of them to prepare a place for them in the kingdom, so that if they believe in him, that they can have a life that never, ever runs out. God, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for loving us so much that you give us chances that we don't even deserve, that we can never even earn, that we can never ever buy. But that you give us an opportunity, God, to make things right with you. That just like you gave Jonah an opportunity to make things right with you. God, I pray that you would help us to spend time in the Bible so that we can take scripture and that we can bury it inside of our hearts. That in those difficult moments when we're inside of the belly of the fish in our lives, that we can stand on your word and your promises. That even when it doesn't look like things are going to work out or the solutions are going to come to pass and it looks like the problems are going to prevail and it looks like all hope is lost, God, that we can be reminded of your word and your promises just as Jonah was and just as Jonah did. God, it's time that we start spending time in your word and loving to do so instead of being so caught up in our own agendas. God, I pray that you would help us in these areas that we are weak. And make us strong. God, I thank you that all things are found in you. And God, that you are love. And God, we give you the highest praise because you're so good. God, I pray that you be glorified in our lives. And everything we do and say would bring you glory, Lord. Father, we love you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Refresh Podcast, where Christ goes before us so we can bring you another refreshing word. Such a great word from the book of Jonah. Join me again next time for Well Tells episode 5 as we continue along with our series, guys. I encourage you this week, Lord, to allow God to recalibrate your lives, that you would turn away from the things that you're doing wrong and the things that are disconnecting your heart from the Father's, and that you can be recalibrated, that in your moments of difficulty, that you can be reminded that God wants to use them for his glory. Guys, I love you so much. I pray that you have a good rest of your week. Take it easy. Don't be cheesy. Have a good day. Love you.